Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. One of our national magazines recently reported a sudden boom in the production of homosexual movies. At least a dozen films, we were told, were produced where the plot concerned what Life magazine called the gay life, but which God calls the most demoralizing and degrading of all human passions. The magazine went on to describe the actual production of one of these films, calling it the most erotic, provocative English language sex scene that anyone has photographed. Unrehearsed, so vivid is the portrayal of homosexuality on the screen that in the excitement of watching, the audience actually becomes a participant, says the magazine. My friends, the tragedy is that we should allow this, knowing that this has been the ruin of every past civilization. How can we be patriotic, God-fearing Americans and allow this sort of thing to go on without protest? This was the sin, you'll recall, which was rampant in the days of Lot, when God had no other choice but to unleash fire and brimstone upon the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. So thus to permit the production and presentation of this kind of film en masse is to open a Pandora's box, which will suddenly and quickly bring about our destruction morally, physically, and spiritually. Judgment in the form of bombs and missiles may also surely be our lot. For God oftentimes uses nations and allows wars to punish guilty offenders who violate his laws and ridicules his judgments. When clear and unmistakable terminologies, the Apostle Paul speaks plainly of those who dishonor their bodies between themselves, being given over to vile affections. For we read even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly or unbelievable. Did you hear it? Would you like to know what God thinks of this kind of erotic behavior? As far as God is concerned, the sins of fornication and adultery are serious enough to bar anyone from the kingdom of God who participates in these vile affections. But when it comes to sins of lesbianism and homosexuality, hell will not be hot enough, nor God's judgment severe enough in the punishment of all such offenders. We hear so much about the sexual revolution, how moral standards have changed, how practices once unmentionable are not only accepted but applauded. Indeed, this is how far we have traveled down the road of rot leading to ruin. It must be remembered, on account of these sins, God has quickly brought about the end of past civilizations. It was not the overpopulation of the world that caused the judgment of the flood in Noah's time. Rather, it was because of the moral wickedness of the world then existing. The Bible tells us that God saw the wickedness of man on the earth, that it was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so God was left without choice except to destroy man whom he had created. We read it grieved him at his heart that he had to do this, but nevertheless he had no choice. Man had become so vile, so corrupt, his passions so wicked, the lives of men were so evil that everything they did and said was coarse and vulgar, and God had to destroy that civilization. To think, ladies and gentlemen, that we have films being produced today along with magazines and books and novels being published with the sanction of society, the approval of our court, which is leading us down the same paths of sin and ultimate destruction. The Bible says the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone are to be an example of those that after should so live ungodly. Did you hear it? When we read verses in the Bible like this, we can't help but wonder why every minister does not become a prophet, why every pulpit does not become a platform from which to cry out against the perversity of our times. We would soon see a reversal of this trend if every true servant of God would sense the sorrow that's ahead and cry out warnings of imminent judgment. Evangelist Joe Hankins once observed, There is not the slightest doubt in my mind that if the preachers all over America would stand up and cry out against the sins in our land for just 1 year, all the powers of hell could not quench the revival fires that would break out. Ministers listening today, let's do it. Let's dedicate ourselves anew to crying out against these sins of perversity so prevalent that many are condoning instead of condemning. Well, let's believe God for a mighty revival. The evangelist has noted only a sweeping religious awakening will bring God back to America and save our land. We admit we can't bring about this change that is needed to reverse the tide of godlessness, but God will do it. He can do it. When I read of these films being produced and shown on the screens of our land, showing men seducing men and women seducing women, in actual true life scenes with no rehearsals needed, then to think of the millions of people being enticed to these theaters, and some of these scenes being portrayed on outdoor screens where you cannot have adult-only crowds but children looking on as well, and then to realize the films of yesterday are the same productions being shown to our people on our television sets tomorrow. We begin to realize the road we are taking and the harm that is happening and the destruction that will follow. You who have television sets better get rid of them now if you don't want to be tempted, your family seduced. Much of what is being seen on certain channels is already bordering on filth and frenzy. The reason for this rash of films being produced, we are told, these films which glamorize these sensual sins, is due to the excitement they arouse. What happens when a person sees these films is that their baser, lower natures are stirred up. Once an impression is made on the mind, it often forms an emotional pattern from which there is no escape. And so what was once forbidden and abhorred becomes accepted. And with it comes burning lusts that are never truly satisfied unless that particular passion is catered to, unless it's implied, which often leaves only guilt and bitter remorse. What often happens is that demonic spirits possess people with such uncleanness that they go the limit in expressing all kinds of perversities. That's why men of God are needed today to cry out against this moral rot that is invading our culture like a tidal wave. As the Apostle James warns, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, cries James. We would point out that many who call themselves Christians are victimized by these sins as well, because they've yielded to that first temptation, or they've read that illicit novel, or they went to see that immoral film. And particularly, our youth are vulnerable today, curious and investigative. They cannot understand why the adult movie, and so soon they are buying under the counter this pornographic literature which corrupts their minds and will damn their souls unless they realize the heinousness of this sin. They too repent before it's too late. G.H. Montgomery, writing in Defender magazine, warns, "The sin of Sodom is the one form of evil that God has repeatedly punished with total destruction and annihilation of the guilty. Let those who would be enticed by these sins beware. For the Apostle Paul declares, they which commit such things are worthy of death." Perhaps there are some listening today who have said, "I've tried to quit my sinning. I've failed miserably. What hope is there for me?" It is true, the wages of sin is death. But the remainder of that verse in Romans 6:23 would remind us, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is why Jesus came to quicken, to give new life with new desires, and to break the power of sin in the life. Now listen closely if you would like to know how this is done, how we can be set free from the power and dominion of sin. First, realize that all have sinned and all are in need of this new life. Then you must invite Christ into your heart and life. He will not force himself, but would remind us that he seeks an entrance into our lives by his Spirit. Now hear his kind invitation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Then do it now. You know you're a sinner, that you have failed to break the chains of sin that bind you. You need a force, a power, a person that is greater than you, than your willpower. And as you ask Christ to save you, to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and life, he will do it. Now he would remind us, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And so no sin is too great, no crime too serious, no habit too strong, but that Christ can make you victor over it. Hear me today, and I would warn you, you must make a full surrender. You must be willing to repent of sin, knowing that God hates sin. You must mean business with God. Then read the Bible to strengthen your faith and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and you will suddenly find yourself victorious over the flesh and over Satan. Now the devil knows where you're weak, and he will put his foot out to make you fall. But if you slip, repent of wrongdoing immediately and let God know you are sorry. Remember, God hates sin. Sin must be repented of. Sin must be forgiven if we would gain heaven. And so don't be satisfied with a partial surrender, mean business. Ask Christ to save you, then allow him to become the Lord and the master of your life. Be obedient to his every word, and he'll not let you down. He will empower you and strengthen you. He will establish you and keep you. Indeed, this is his promise to you. Well, some have found the power of sin so strong that their cure came when they fasted and prayed. That is, they denied themselves of food, and this is a scriptural method of breaking this appetite of lust that binds a person. As we have appetites for food, so there are physical appetites which are harmful. And fasting for 4 days and sometimes longer has been known to break the power of dope and drugs, alcohol and cigarettes, sexual sins, and the lust which destroys. Well, remember, you must want to be set free. And this is why Jesus came, to seek and save that which is lost and to set free. For whom the Son maketh free, he shall be free indeed. Then remember, Jesus is coming soon. The evidence related in today's broadcast of moral perversity would indicate God will not tolerate much longer this sin. He must come for those made pure by the blood of Christ and found walking in obedience to his will. And he must destroy the wicked from off the earth as he did in Noah's time and in the days of Lot. And so heed the call of God. Repent by turning from your sin to trust the Savior. Then live for Jesus daily, remembering he is coming soon. For he hath said, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.